On April 20th, 1968, Apple advertises in the New Music Express that they want to help unknown songwriters and musicians. Paul says it's ridiculous that people with talent like Dave Mason and Denny Lane have sometimes had to struggle to get their work accepted.
There are some people who want to do something specially where they need a bit of money. You see, obviously, like, if we're running a thing which involves money, you can't just give all the time, because you have to get something back, or else it just stops, you know, when your money runs out. So that we're trying to do it with people that can do something for us in return, like on a swap basis.
On May 5th, the fashion model Twiggy sees Mary Hopkin on the BBC TV program Opportunity Knocks and tells Paul about her. He phones Mary Hopkin and suggests she records for Apple. On May 15th, 1968, John Lennon and Paul McCartney visit America to launch Apple. They hold a press conference where Paul meets Linda Eastman again. Paul and John appear on The Tonight Show and do various interviews to explain what Apple is all about to Americans.
It's a company we're setting up which involves records, films, electronics, which make records and films work.
It's just trying to mix business with enjoyment.
Pleasure.
But yeah. Like, all the profits won't go into our pockets. They'll go to help people, but not like a charity.
But we hope to make a thing that's free, where people can just come and do and record and not have to ask, could we have another microphone in the studio, because we haven't had a hit yet.
It'll be big, I think.
On June 8th, in a Melody Maker interview, Paul discloses that the Beatles wrote over 20 new songs while in India. On June 22nd, it's reported in the Daily Telegraph that Apple has bought 3 Savile Row, a street famous for its tailor shops. One of its former owners was Lord Nelson. They buy it for a mere £500,000. On July 17, Paul McCartney arrives alone to join John and Yoko, George and his wife Patty, for the world premiere of the full-length cartoon Yellow Submarine at the London Pavilion. Paul gives his impressions of the film.
The only thing that's a pity about the film is that we didn't manage to use our voices on it, because we were working a lot and we didn't get it together. And we tried to do it later, but it's impossible, because it's very difficult to do the other way around. You can't put new voices on a film that's already made with animation. It's a bit difficult with cartoon films to do that. But it's still a great film. It's a film about us, you know. So it's like saying The Seven Dwarfs made Snow White by Walt Disney, but Walt Disney made it, really. Not the Seven Dwarfs.
An animator of Yellow Submarine, Tom Haley, gives us an insight to the production.
The design is almost two-dimensional. That when it's animating some of the Meanie stuff, it has had a more three-dimensional feeling to it. And the Meanies were fun to animate. They were real Meanies. And they're nice to get hold of. The Beatles were somewhat different to draw. They had a... You had to be very accurate, certainly with some of the faces. Paul was quite difficult to get the look of Paul. George was much easier, he had good strong cheekbones, you could get hold of him. And John, with the glasses and that, was reasonably easy. Ringo wasn't too difficult to get. But it was made in a year, and I think all things considered, it was very successful.
At the party, George Harrison tells reporters of the new album they're recording.
Oh, yeah, the songs we wrote, they're not Indian sort of things, but they're just, you know, Beatle music. You know, all the songs we just write them all the time, so, you know, we just happen to have written some in India.
Will it take as long as Sgt. Pepper, do you think, or is it impossible to say?
Impossible to say. There's more songs than we had when we started Pepper.
Paul, you were just in India. Will you be recording any new songs done there on a new album?
We've just gone into the studios again and we're doing it now. The music, I think it'll take a couple of months for us to finish it.
On July 30th, Paul comments on the demise of the Apple boutique. We decided to close down the shop last Saturday, not because it wasn't making any money, but because we thought the retail business wasn't our particular scene. The next day, all the clothes are given away. Crowds are camped outside all night. The value of the stock is estimated at £20,000. George Harrison about Apple.
We just spend money when we wanted to spend money, but we didn't know where we were spending it from or if we paid taxes on it. You know, we were really in bad shape as far as that was concerned, because none of us really could be bothered. We just felt as though we were rich, because really we were rich by what we sold and what we did. But it wasn't really the case, you know, because it was so untogether, the business side of it.
Press officer Derek Taylor.
It was too much for the people who were there to run. They weren't skilled in administration, of course. Why should they be? So no one was really running the place. It was running itself. And even places can't run themselves. They have to be run. And somebody had to come in and do it.
On August 1st, 1968, after widespread criticism about the management of the Apple boutique, Paul tells a reporter, "We always make our mistakes in public." On the same day, the Beatles record the song that will launch the Apple label, Hey Jude. If they couldn't manage a shop, they could certainly make successful records. And so on August 11th, the Beatles launched National Apple Week with the release of the Black Dyke Mills Band, conducted by Paul. The single Thingamabob is the theme tune Paul had written for an English TV comedy series starring Stanley Holloway.